Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 10th, 2007. This week, we'll meet some upwardly mobile robots and learn how environmentally friendly bacteria could be used to fight oil spills. But first, Suzanne Bard tells us about some female songbirds with picky tastes in music.
Some hits from the 1970s just haven't stood the test of time. It turns out that bird songs may go out of style, too. Elizabeth Derryberry, a graduate student at Duke University, recorded the songs of male white-crowned sparrows at Tioga Pass in California and compared them with songs recorded in the same place in 1979. Derryberry notes that while all the males sing the same basic song, there are subtle differences between 21st century songs and those of three decades ago.
It's very clear that the songs have slowed down over time. And if you listen carefully, you can hear that they have also lowered in pitch.
Like humans, the sparrows learn regional dialects that they pass down through the generations. These dialects change over time. But are these changes just random variations, or do they actually mean something to the birds? To find out, Derryberry tested the two different dialects on breeding females to see which song they found more appealing in a mate.
I took females into the lab and played them the songs and looked at their behavior. And what I found was that females preferred current songs over historical songs.
And to find out whether males care which dialect a rival sings, Derryberry conducted a second experiment by playing both dialects to territorial males.
And I found that males were more aggressive towards current songs than they were towards historical songs. And this suggests that current songs are more effective signals than historical songs in male-male competition.
Derryberry thinks this increased interest in up-to-date songs could lead to genetic changes in the population over time.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, Justin Warner has the latest in global warming research.
Sea levels are rising because of global warming. If they rise by just a few feet, it could devastate or even submerge coastal cities. The best-known contributor is the melting of the massive polar ice sheets, but according to a study by University of Colorado geological scientist Mark Meyer and his colleagues, 60% of the world's ice melt actually comes from glaciers and smaller ice caps scattered across the globe.
And we also project to the future that this contribution will be greater than that of the ice sheets, at least to the end of this century.
He adds that glaciers and ice caps melt faster than polar ice sheets because they're smaller and are generally found at lower altitudes. And that's not all.
For some glaciers, at least, the more melting you get on the surface, the more water that flows down into the glacier and ends up at the bed, the more rapidly the glacier slides, and therefore the more ice that is fed down to either lower elevations or directly into the ocean.
That's because the melting ice lubricates the underside of the glacier, making it slide more quickly across rocky terrain. For these reasons, Meyer's team expects that the melting of smaller ice sheets will only accelerate in the future.
Thanks, Justin. The La Brea Tar Pits of Southern California are packed with the fossils of Ice Age animals that were trapped in them thousands of years ago. But not all of the organisms trapped there died. Some bacteria adapted to the natural asphalt and eventually thrived there. Scientists at the University of California, Riverside recently identified a variety of bacteria that live deep inside the tar and use it as a food source. They hope to study the microorganisms and find ways to use them to help clean up oil spills and process petroleum into other useful compounds. In other useful bacteria news, scientists at Emory have turned microbes into little robots, programmed to navigate their way to chemical targets. Their hope is to engineer the bacteria to carry drugs or break down pollutants, and then train them to swim their way to wherever they're needed. Speaking of robots, Suzanne has a story about some very different robots that are climbing their way to the top.
Like a car with an automatic transmission, humans shift easily from walking on level ground to climbing up hills. But mastering inclines is a huge challenge for robots. Florentine Vergeteur and his colleagues at the University of Göttingen in Germany have trained a robot called Runbot to do just that.
It does it by changing the stride length and by leaning forward with a little upper body component like humans also do. When we walk upwards, we lean forward.
Like a human toddler, Runbot learns by trial and error. When it first encounters a hill, it falls backwards. But that triggers a learning mechanism, which adapts the robot's movements based on data collected by a simple infrared eye. Once it's mastered a given gradient, Runbot can tackle other hills of equal or lesser steepness.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, it's summertime and it's sizzling out there, but more and more people are getting a tan without heading outdoors. Listener Karina Wu of Alexandria, Virginia, asked whether self-tanning lotions and sprays give you the same tan that the sun does. We turn to dermatologist Steve Feldman of the Wake Forest University School of Medicine. When exposed to the sun, he says the skin produces melanin, a chemical that creates that tanned look. But self-tanners work very differently.
They are a chemical that binds to the dead scaly layer on the surface of our bodies, and it gives the skin a color.
Feldman says that while tinting your skin with a self-tanner may darken it, you'll still need plenty of sunscreen if you head outdoors. And if you're burning with a science question, call us at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use it on the air, you'll win a Science Update mug. Now, we know that many of you listen to us on the Naked Scientists podcast. Well, we're pleased to tell you that they've been nominated for several podcast awards this year. If you like them as much as we do, please help them out by voting for their show at podcastawards.com. That's all for this week. Next week, we'll travel back in time to find out how the dinosaurs rose to power. And we'll tell you why some people benefit from sugar pills and others don't. If you like our show, you might also tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition, which brings you a thrilling one-minute story about science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.